Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
More of your calls about the prospect of dropping some of the more patriotic elements of last night at the proms, specifically Rule Britannia, to come. The number's 0345 6060 973. But first, let's go to America and catch up with Simon Marks. Hello, Simon.
Hello, Nick.
So, there is one fewer person in the race to be the Republican candidate for the next election.
What there happened? Is indeed. There is indeed. And it basically means, Nick, that the quote-unquote race is essentially over. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, as you know, pulled out within the last few hours, having placed a dismal second in Iowa last week, 30 points behind former President Donald Trump. We thought that DeSantis might stay in the race until the New Hampshire primary, which takes place on Tuesday. But in fact, he's decided not only to get out, but in getting out, has decided to endorse former President Donald Trump for the Republican Party's nomination, which is pretty extraordinary, frankly, given the disgraceful way in which Donald Trump has treated Ron DeSantis over the last several months. I mean, constantly referring to him as Ron DeSanctimonious.
Meatball Ron.
Meatball Ron. Just extraordinary to see not only the withdrawal, which is not that surprising, but the decision immediately to endorse. Just amazing.
Yeah.
But I think what this basically means, without question, is that this race for the Republican nomination is over. We will go through the motions of the New Hampshire primary on Tuesday because Nikki Haley still professes publicly to believe that there's a path for success to her. Republican voters in New Hampshire on Tuesday night will demonstrate very clearly that there is none. I think she's likely to get out of the race pretty quickly thereafter because the next date that she faces, if she stays in, is in her home state of South Carolina, and there, Donald Trump is currently 40% ahead of her. So I don't think she's going to want to be routed on home turf. And already tonight here in Washington, you've got Republican senior officials in both the Senate and the House of Representatives referring to Donald Trump already as the presumed Republican Party nominee, which, of course, is a title that is usually bestowed on the Republican or Democrat once they've crossed the mathematical threshold of no return in terms of convention delegates. But there's no real need to wait for very much longer because, assuming Nikki Haley loses New Hampshire on Tuesday and then bows out of the race, it's all over. I mean, they'll carry on holding the primary contests all over the country. There will still be the day in March, March the 5th, when the race goes national. But the notion that we can possibly call it Super Tuesday will be laughable because it will be not so Super Tuesday because the race will already have been all settled and sealed. And that means we have to brace ourselves now for something truly unimaginable. Assuming that tonight Donald Trump is effectively the presumed Republican Party's nominee, we are looking at fully 9 months of national campaigning between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. And I don't know about you, but I think there are millions of Americans that simply don't have the stomach for that.
Yeah, Americans, by and large, if they could actually have their own choice, would vote for neither of the above. Am I right?
Yeah, there's no doubt that most Americans were very much hoping that this election was not going to be a rematch of 2020. It looks like it is going to be a rematch. That is deeply underwhelming to millions of voters in the middle who don't fancy Donald Trump at all, but also think that Joe Biden at 81 should have done the sensible thing several months ago and announced that he was not going to seek re-election. There is still the possibility that drama could lie ahead for the Democrats. I mean, Joe Biden's poll numbers are so woeful that there are still persistent suggestions that he might ultimately get out of the race, even one being floated this weekend by former Republican Senator of New Hampshire, Judd Gregg, but, you know, pretty sensible sort of orthodox Republican, moderate Republican, who was suggesting in an interview with the New York Times on Friday, I think it was, that perhaps what's going to happen here is that Joe Biden is going to win the Democrat primary, because remember, there is a primary taking place on the Democrat side as well.
Mm.
He's obviously going to win that. And then once he has got that lined up, maybe before the convention in the summer, Joe Biden says, OK, I'm the candidate. I've actually decided I'm going to drop out and I'm going to nominate this person to replace me. And I want all my delegate votes to back whoever that person might be.
Right.
Now, you know, that's complicated
stuff. Who might that be?
Well, I mean, Judd Gregg was postulating the notion of Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan. Obviously, there'll be questions about whether it shouldn't be Kamala Harris, the vice president of the United States. I mean, this is all a stretch.
She's no more popular than Biden, though, is she?
Well, she is now. She is. It is a measure of how bad Biden's situation is that she is now 1% more popular than he is. But that's more to do with how far he's fallen than how far she's recovered.
Why do you think this is? Because if you look at every economic indicator, Biden is trumping. I'll restate
well,
you
did
that.
It again. I did it again.
Biden is beating Donald Trump's record in office. Jobs added. Everything apart from the inflation level. But that, you could say, didn't really have much to do with Joe Biden. And it is now at a level that is the envy of other countries. Prices are not going up as fast as they used to. Gas prices are also the envy of certainly the people in this country. And he's adding, 250,000 jobs on a monthly basis? Something like that.
Yep.
So he's doing particularly well in the face of, you know, a lot of economic headwind. So why? Is it just the age thing?
Well, I think it is the age thing, coupled with the fact that he's not able to make the sale to the American public.
Right.
And, you know, he keeps going out on the campaign trail and talking about Bidenomics.
Mm.
Nobody wants to hear about the word makes you reach for the mute button, on your television. I mean, what people want to be told is it's now safe to go and look at the balance of your 401k retirement fund. The Standard & Poor 500 on Friday notched a world record high for the index. I mean, I know from personal experience that it's now safe to go and check the balance of your 401k retirement fund because it's suddenly back in positive territory. He needs to find a way of being enthusiastic and ginning people up and exciting them. And there are Democrats out there that have worked within the Biden White House, including Simone Sanders, who's now an anchor on MSNBC here, who has been saying they've got to let Biden be Biden, and instead that the campaign people are being too diffident and they're trying to control him too much, and they need him to get out on the stump and be the campaigner that she claims he can be. I mean, I'm not convinced that he can be that campaigner anymore, but he's going to have to find the cadences and the language if he's going to turn this around at all, and the concern of Democrats all over the country, especially as they see Trump just cruising to victory, are only growing, because once Trump has got real votes behind him, once he really is the presumed Republican nominee with all of those delegates, you know, it's going to be very, very difficult for Joe Biden to do what he did last week after Trump's Iowa victory and just dismiss it and say it doesn't mean anything, the turnout was low, it's meaningless. I mean, there is a real problem here. The Republican Party are about to nominate the former president who led rioters in their deadly rampage on Capitol Hill on January the 6th, 2021, and whom the current president says poses a clear and present danger to America's democratic experiment. And at some point, Joe Biden's going to have to explain head on why the country, after nearly 4 years of him in office, still feels like, as far as the Republicans are concerned, they need to reach back to Donald Trump. We saw Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina endorse Joe Biden on Friday. He flew to New Hampshire to make this very dramatic endorsement, saying that he's backing, Donald Trump, saying that he's backing Donald Trump because the country needs someone that can unite it, and Donald Trump is the man to unite the country. I mean, in what world is that vaguely viable?
But does he actually, sorry to interrupt, but does he actually unite the Republican voters, because Biden is right. The turnout was low. There was the weather issue. It was very, very cold on that day. But is there actually much desire among Republican, ordinary, not the cultists, I'm not talking about those people, because they're gone, is cult fans, but just generally, are our people, ordinary, decent Republican voters in America, are they a bit sort of holding their nose at the idea of putting their cross next to Donald Trump? Trump's name, because of everything that you said and because of the sexual assault allegations that have been proven, and the case is now being revisited because he defamed this person, E. Jean Carroll?
Yes.
And the 90 other charges that are against him, never mind about the things that he just says on a daily basis, and the abortion issue as well. I mean, people are talking about Trump as though he's a shoo-in to be the next president of the United States. But it's more complicated than that, surely.
It is more complicated than that, but it's also evident that Donald Trump now has the support of Republicans that go far wider than simply the dyed-in-the-wool always Trumpers, the people that will go to their graves for him, always believing that he's the greatest president the United States has ever had. Again, the New York Times last week had a very interesting piece about how Trump has managed to restore his reputation among some college-educated Republicans, because he really lost them by the time he left the presidency. And it was going to be, it seemed at the time in 2020, an impossible task that he might win their backing again. He would not be enjoying the size of victories that he is exhibiting in places like South Carolina, 60% of the vote among likely Republican primary voters, wrapping this thing up even before, frankly, New Hampshire casts its ballots. I mean, this primary campaign is over. We've never had that before in certainly my experience of being here for 3 decades. I mean, we should all be glued to the television every Tuesday for the next multiple weeks, waiting to see what happens in the Kansas primary. I mean, all of that is not going to happen this time around.
Right. But there is...
that's because he has grown his support.
Yes. But there is also, I mean, as people talk about Joe Biden's physical and perhaps mental enfeeblement, which might be a little on the unkind side, there's evidence that you could say the same for Donald Trump, because he keeps bragging about this cognitive test that was the man, woman, person, camera, TV thing that he keeps going on about, and he brags that he bested this test, which is actually just a test to see if you are suffering from dementia, and now he's making up questions that he says that he aced. Like he says. One of the questions was multiply 3,293 times by 4 and then divide by 3. If he could do that off the top of his head, I'm a Knickerbocker glory with cream on top.
Although I have heard you do mental arithmetic on the air, and it can be done. He's made up another one as well. He says, he claims, he talked about this in New Hampshire, and he was forced to do so because Nikki Haley has been raising questions about his mental acuity.
Yes.
And he's once again been talking about this mental acuity test that he took. He spoke of it in terms as though he'd done another one recently. It wasn't clear whether he's talking about the one that he took when he was president of the United States, or if there's been more in the intervening years. But he said in Portsmouth, it was 35 or 30 questions, he said. They always show you the first one, like a giraffe or a tiger or a whale, and then they say, which one is the whale? And that goes on for 3 or 4 questions, and then it gets harder and harder and harder. Now, the neurologist who invented the test has told the Washington Post that there is absolutely no drawing of a whale included in any of these tests.
Right.
So he's making a lot of this up out of whole cloth. But he's been forced to address it because on the campaign trail, he has, over the last several months, but particularly over the last week or so, been demonstrating some rather odd behavior. I mean, there was a speech where he multiple times referenced Nikki Haley and meant to reference Nancy Pelosi, the former Speaker of the House of Representatives.
Yeah.
But he argued that Nikki Haley had been in charge of defending the Capitol on January the 6th, 2021, when, of course, she wasn't. That was Nancy Pelosi. He also struggled over the last 24 hours to articulate the word climate. And so there are people out there wondering if there isn't something neurological taking place. And I think those questions will only mount as we see this just extraordinary battle shaping up between, you know, man, person, woman, TV camera and the ancient mariner in the White House.
Great to talk to you, as always. Thanks so much, Simon. Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent.